Hi, my name's Beth French, and I am from the southwest of the UK, and I swim channels for fun.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, first off, how's your health and how's your son Dylan?
So my health is pretty stable at the moment. It's always been a bit of a challenge, and my son Dylan is now 15 and towers above me and doing very well.
Oh my goodness. I saw a photo in I think it's in the documentary or maybe it's somewhere on your website where he's with a paddleboard. Is what is his relationship with the ocean and water?
I'm really pleased. I mean, I was a water babe growing up, so
Yeah.
I grew up pre-digital cameras, and most of the photos of me under the age of five, I'm in a bucket or a puddle or a stream. There's always water,
Yeah.
and I'm really pleased that my boy was a water baby as well. So he would try and throw himself out of the buggy when we're walking along to jump in a puddle, and he was never afraid of being in the water. So it was really quite natural for me to sort of involve him in my training when I was doing my channel swimming. So yeah, he's been in and out and around the ocean all his life. So
That's
yeah, he
amazing.
surfs and he paddleboards and he's happy being out in the water swimming for an hour and a half without touching the bottom. He's great.
That's great. Now I need to sort of go back a bit because I referenced a movie, I referenced a documentary, Against the Tides. And I have to tell you how I came upon you and your story and this documentary. At our the company that I work for, Active International, our chief people officer, I believe is her official title, from England, lives in Scotland, helped put together our new training platform for the company. And so, as it launched, I said, let me check it out. I'll give feedback, if there's any hiccups or whatever. So the first thing is about goals and goal setting.
Right.
So I go through the program, and then at the end, there's, extra things you can read, listen to, watch. So there's some podcast episodes, there's some books to read, and then there's links to video. And it was watch or listen to Beth French's story. And it was just a synopsis, and it was like 90 seconds long. I said, I can afford 90 seconds. So I invest 90 seconds into this video, and it just fascinated me. I said, who is this woman? And why is she swimming these channels? This is unbelievable. And I had to search for the movie. And last weekend, our family sat down, we watched the documentary, and I'm like, mouth is wide open. So, anyways, that's how I came upon your story. And I said, I need to chat with you. I need to, learn more about all of this. So you've always been a water baby, like you said. When was the first inkling you got that you said, I want to accomplish, I want to do this Ocean Sevens challenge? And maybe you could talk a little bit about what this challenge is.
So the Ocean 7 Challenge is a list of 7 channels around the world that was put together by the World Open Water Swimming Association. And there are 7 different channels. And a channel is defined as starting on land, walking into the water, and swimming to another island, country, or continent without assistance. So you're not allowed to touch the boat at any time. You're not allowed to, sort of get on the boat and rest. The shortest one is the Straits of Gibraltar, so swimming from Europe to Africa. The longest one is the Molokai Channel in Hawaii, where you swim from Oahu to Hawaii. And that's, it, some people say it's 28 miles to 32 miles, depending on how you measure it, but that's in a straight line without dealing with tides and waves and currents. So it's a pretty epic challenge. And the idea for most people is to, if they want to do the challenge, is they swim them over their lifetimes.
Yeah.
And there's only been about, or maybe a dozen people now have swum those channels in their
Okay.
lifetime. And it was that I'm not a tick a checklist kind of person. That's not my kind of bag. I actually came to channel swimming in a really obscure route. Like I said, I was a water baby, but I grew up in the middle of nowhere, really rural. Not sporty family, farmers. You know, so we were
Oh,
very
okay.
active, but not sporty and not adventurous and not with a lot of money. And I got ill at the age of 10, and the doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. I just woke up one day and it literally felt like someone had pulled a plug. I had no energy. It physically hurt to move. It felt like I had molten lava running through my veins. It just hurt to be alive, and moving hurt more than staying still. And it wasn't until I was 17 that I was retrospectively diagnosed with ME, and I was in a wheelchair for a year.
Wow.
So, you know, all through my kind of schooling, my secondary schooling life, elementary school and high school, I was ill. You know, I would have periods where I was in remission, and I would throw myself into trying to do anything and everything. And then I would have these crashes where I'd be completely bedridden and in a lot of pain. And so, you know, it felt like my life, I wouldn't have a future. I wouldn't have any, there's no point having goals, because I couldn't tell you if I could get out of bed tomorrow, let alone
Wow.
if I could, you know, achieve anything in the future. But I had this compulsion to push, because when I was well, I wanted to prove that I was a valid human being. Because obviously, you know, I wasn't diagnosed. I was just told that I was being a bit lazy as a teenager, just liking to lie around. You know, all the blood tests came back negative. You know, there still wasn't a lot of recognition back then for ME. So yeah, channel swimming came way later, like when I
Oh,
was
wow.
30. Yeah, so I didn't start channel swimming till after I became a single mum, because I had all of my teenage years wiped out. Then I had all of my 20s to learn how to try and live healthy. You know, it took me about 13 years to learn to manage my symptoms, to figure out what triggered me, and to learn to live healthy in any way, shape, or form. But I had this really unhealthy chip in my brain that said that I didn't trust my body, that I wasn't worthy unless I was pushing
Wow.
myself to the ends of my limits. And and then, you know, suddenly to have a baby, well, if anything's going to challenge your stress levels and your stamina, it's becoming a parent. And I
Yeah.
became a single parent as well. So, you know, I had all of this kind of pent up fear of not being healthy, but also needing to push myself. And that's where the English Channel came from, which was my first ever channel, because it was the thing that I'd had in my bucket list the longest, and it was the last thing on my bucket list to be ticked off, was to swim the English Channel. I didn't think it was ever possible for me to do. And I decided that if I was going to test myself, I wanted to test myself on the biggest,
Wow.
hardest thing. But I wanted to only do it when my son was asleep. So I gave myself 2 years to train, and only trained when he was asleep or involved him in my training. So he learned to count sitting on my back while I did press ups. He used to sit on my hips in the swimming pool, and I would swim lengths with him going, "Swim faster, mummy." So he became part and parcel of my training.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to ask you this about what, it's one thing swimming in a pool. You can see the bottom, you can see all the edges if you need to rest. I had There's something about me in open water. I need a life jacket when I'm in open water. Even if I go snorkeling, I need a life jacket. I just it's There's something about the open water, the waves. How did at in your 30s take to that? Like, was the fear of not accomplishing bigger than maybe a fear of just open water?
So I think that's quite a valid thing. So for you have a fear of open water. I never did. My
Wow.
mum told me this story. I was about 2 or 3 years old. So we're still in the 70s, just about in the 70s.
Yeah.
And I'm the third of four girls, and we didn't often go on holiday. We didn't often go to the beach, because farming, you know, that's every day, all day. But my mum used to tell a story of taking me to the beach, and she ended up having to literally tie me to her deck chair, because I kept walking into the water and keep going straight out with the waves crashing over the top of my head. I just felt compelled to keep going straight out. I had no fear.
Yeah.
And if we ever went on a boat, my mum couldn't ever let me go. She physically had to hold on to me, because I just wanted to go over the side. So I have no fear of the sea, none whatsoever.
That's
I've
amazing.
always loved it, and I've always been drawn to it. And I discovered that actually swimming at night in the middle of the ocean is my happy place. I
Wow.
have There is nothing more relaxing to me than
Really?
being in the pitch black and being on the surface of the ocean, feeling that kind of the lull of the movement.
Wow.
If I turn it around to you and say, right, you have this fear of open water,
Yeah.
what is it that scares you?
Just the power of the ocean.
See, that's what attracts me.
Wow.
That is because to me, that amount of power and that amount of expanse is potential. And it
Wow.
is looking directly at potential. So when you're channel swimming, you usually start at night because the one thing you don't want to do is land at night. When you're exhausted, your arms don't work anymore. You don't want to face plant a rock. So you tend to start in the dark
Yeah.
and so that you can land in daylight. Well, walking into the pitch black, inky ocean, you know how deep it is. You know that there are fish out there. You know, there's you either get in the water or you don't. You know, if you're afraid of what's in the water, you don't get in the water. If you can get past that, you're walking into this kind of limitless, kind of velvety potential, and it's somewhere you can pour yourself and you go face down in the water. So you're face down. You have a boat that goes alongside you for security. So you sight off them. You don't know where you're going. You have a little light on the back of your goggles so they can see where you are.
Yeah.
You look to the side and see where they are, but you go face down in the water. It's pitch black. You may as well have your eyes shut. It's so dark. You have no way of hearing anything. All you can hear is the schlup, schlup of your arms ticking over and your breathing. So it's so internal. It's complete meditation. And I was
Wow.
one of my things in my 20s when I was kind of trying to learn how to live healthy. I ended up, like you do, I ordained as a Buddhist nun in Thailand,
Of course.
like you do, and studied intensive meditation for a year.
Yeah.
And swimming, particularly at night, swimming at night is so meditative because there is nothing but your experience of your senses. You can feel the sensation of the water, the pressure, the temperature. You can feel the movement of your body, and you're just in with your mind and your thoughts. And that's it. When the sun comes up, it just turns from black to blue. That's the only difference. You look down and there is nothing but blue. You look to the side, you can see the horizon, but it's blue above and blue below. It's just so mindful. And the other beautiful thing of swimming at night is it keeps you mindful because if you get distracted, you get a mouthful of water. But at night, you actually take on less water than in the day because you never rely on your eyes. So you feel where the surface of the water is. Your whole body becomes this intuitive sense organ that feels when you're going up or down a wave. When you're cresting a wave, you turn and breathe more. So you actually become more in tune to the water at night when you can't see. Oh, it's heaven.
That's just fascinating. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What was the impetus for the actual documentary? Why did you want to film and record this?
So I don't
Okay.
like being in front of a camera. I don't like microphones. Public speaking has become something that I've gotten used to, but find very uncomfortable. But I swam the English Channel in 2012, and then 4 months later, I swam a channel in Hawaii. And during that channel, I realized that I could do this thing called channel swimming. And because I could take that chip out, I could remove that part of my brain that says, I need to stop, I'm tired. I need to stop, I'm hungry. I could keep going through all of that. What's the point in doing it? And for me, it was what I learned about myself. So obviously, I had this thing where I didn't trust my body
Yeah.
to stay well, which is why I swam the English Channel. I actually found swimming the English Channel, whilst it is no mean sense easy, I found it easier than everybody told me it would be. And so obviously I hadn't pushed myself hard enough. So then I swam this channel in Hawaii, and that took me 24 hours and 10 minutes of non-stop
A
swimming.
whole day. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which I didn't think was possible until I did it. So in my mind, that's a long time to be in your head, you know? And obviously I have a kind of a wacky imagination to come up with challenges. So both of these channels were on this this list, the Ocean Seven. And I thought, well, obviously I can do the swimming, but can I recover? So what about if I tried to swim all seven channels in a single year? Then it's not so much the swimming, it's actually about the recovery.
Okay,
Can I recover in time to swim another channel? Can I do Have I learned my body enough? Have I overcome ME in such a way that I can recover my body, keep my stress levels low enough that I can swim in a month's time, in 6 weeks' time, right the way through a year? And then you start looking at the price tag of that.
yeah.
Any channel, like the English channel's close to me, but it's still £5,000 if you incorporate your crew, your accommodation, the pilot fees. Well, going to Japan with a crew, with the travel, with accommodation, with a pilot, you're talking a lot of money. So I'm a self-employed single mum. I wouldn't have the money to do that. So I looked at ways to be able to afford it. And one of those ways was I was approached by a documentary team who heard that this is what I was planning and wanted to film it, to make a documentary out of it. And so I took on the film based on the fact that that was a way that I could see myself being able to afford doing the project in the first place.
Fair enough. There's a couple of scenes or a couple of moments in the documentary I want to ask you about. One is surrounding the team and teamwork. And it was really interesting. I don't know whether you had final say of the documentary or not, but there was, you didn't. Okay. But there's a couple of scenes where I don't know if his role was team lead, but one guy leaves, he's upset. I think she started off as a project manager, or she was doing all the social stuff. She's there talking to you. She's also a little bit upset about another thing that I want to talk to you about. My question is, what did you learn about the importance of a team? This is a very individual pursuit, but you rely on many people.
So channel swimming, whilst I'm the one in the water, you cannot do it without your team. You literally, physically, emotionally, mentally, in no way can you do it without your team. One of the things, so there are many things that I would do differently. I don't regret anything that happened. We all did the best we could for as long as we could, and we all did amazingly. A lot of people think, swimming the English Channel is the most that they could ever imagine, if they ever imagined it. And there I was trying to swim seven in a single year, right? So it's no one had even attempted it, let alone completed it. So the first one, Martin, well, my team, none of them had experience before. To put that into equation, I would never do it without an experienced team. Neither of them were swimmers. They were willing and available, and I am so grateful to have had them come on board. How Martin left and when he left, that was actually down to the need to make a narrative of the film. He didn't actually leave after New Zealand, so he actually left about 3 or 4 months later, purely because his work required him to be available for that the second summer. So it became expedient to make, because there was a big bust up in the team in New Zealand. It was actually the girl who was looking after Dylan, who had come with me to look after Dylan, which was never in the film. She was the crux of what caused the team to explode. And because the team had a big upset, it became easier to say that Martin was the one who was leaving then than to dig up why. Because my boy wasn't then diagnosed with autism. So, I find him delightful. People who don't grow up with anybody with autism, they find it difficult to relate. And it was a huge task for Dylan. Dylan was then 8. It was a lot to expect for him to cope with a lot of travel. He is fine with me swimming single individual channels. We'd found a way to make it work. The individual channels he didn't have a problem with. Being around four other people all of the time in his face during this really intense process. And also the time that I had to spend away from him filming between channels, he found the hardest part. So normally, if I swim a channel, I literally put him to bed the night before. He knows what's happening. His carer is with him. I put him to bed. He knows the next day he's going to get up with his carer. They're going to have their own little adventure for the day, and I'll be back 24 hours later. That's the only time I'm normally away from him. But then when you've got this filming where you've suddenly got, a 6 hour filming doing this bit, and then you've got to go and, recce this spot. And there was so much time that I was away from him that actually he found it really stressful
Yeah, I
because
can
I wasn't there
imagine.
for him between the channels. That was actually the hardest part of it all for him. So
Interesting.
that was actually what happened and why everything in the film happened.
Ah, see, now this like answers the next question, which I'm sure you guessed what it was. But as it, what channel was it where you made the decision? Where
So
were
the
you
decision
swimming?
made in the Japanese channel, and that was my fifth channel. So somebody had swum four channels before in a year, and I had reached that. So I'd swum four channels, and it was during in the fifth channel, which technically that is my I can dine off that for the rest of my life. No one had ever swum more channels in a single year. To that point. And it was not because the day before Dylan had been really upset. He was. It was actually because I had realized about an hour and a half into that channel that I didn't need to prove anything anymore. I genuinely realized that the reason I had first started channel swimming was because I didn't trust my body. But I also didn't trust myself to listen to my body to say, you can stop now. You don't have to do this. You have nothing to prove. You're the only person you have to answer to. At 2:30 in the morning, you're your own demon. You're the only person you have to listen to answer to. It doesn't matter if everybody else in the world is saying, I think this. If you know in your heart of hearts something different is right for you, go for it. And that's what I like the epiphany that came to me about an hour and a half into that channel. Now, Ella, who was on the boat, was originally the social media manager, and she was thrown into this position of suddenly being my emotional support, which wasn't her drive in life, and it wasn't the relationship that we'd come through this year. She did her best. So I lifted my head and said, look, I'm done. I want to get out. And, she said, look, can you give me a half hour more? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll give you a half hour more. We had another chat. I said, no, yeah, I still want to get out, but I want to make sure that it's not just a glitch in my brain. I'm not having a bad time. I want to see how much I can do. So I ended up swimming another 6 hours after I'd made the decision that I wanted to get out. And I enjoyed those 6 hours because I knew that I didn't want to reach the other side. And it wasn't that I wanted, yeah. It wasn't that I wanted to get out because I didn't think I could reach the other side. I actively didn't want to reach the other side because I knew
That's an
if
interesting
I went,
decision.
yeah,
Okay, well,
I
I
knew if
don't.
I got, yeah, I knew that if I got out, if I reached the other side and went back to my son and said, Dylan, I'm done. I've learned this thing about myself. I wanted to, I realized halfway through that I wanted to stop. He would have turned around and said, well, then you should have got out then. You carried on knowing that you wanted to get out. And I knew I had to stop and get out because in the water, I felt in control and in my own power. If I reached land, everybody else's expectations crash in on me. Whereas in the water, I call the shots. I'm the only person who can put one arm in front of the other. So I knew I needed to get out before I reached the other side.
Thank you for sharing that. That is fascinating. What are you up to now, Beth? What keeps you busy these days?
So Dylan still keeps me busy, and I'll tell you this. So I got out of the water in Japan.
I went back to the hotel where Dylan was,
Yeah.
and I said to him, "Darling, I've decided I'm just going to be your mum. I've decided, I don't want to do the channel swims anymore. I feel very proud of myself." And he looked at me and said, "Mother, you're a bit of a disappointment." And I was like, "Oh,
Oh,
wow. Why do you say that, sweetheart?" And he said, "Because we'll never adventure again." And I,
Oh.
all his life, the only adventures he's known have been around, based around me swimming. And I felt really proud that he wanted to explore the world more. So, like the fool that I am, I said, "That's all right, darling. You can choose our next adventure." And without breaking a stride, without taking a breath, he said, "Oh, good. We're going to stay in a yurt in Alaska in the snow." So I looked at my contacts from having traveled around the world, and I had a friend who is an airline pilot for Alaskan Air, and I contacted her and said, "Is it possible to stay in a yurt in Alaska in the winter?" And she went, "Oh yeah, there's a few. There's not many, but there are some public access yurts you can stay in, yeah." So I booked it. We went out and stayed with her. She lent us a meat packing sled and all of her camping gear. We found a public access yurt in the back of a glacial valley, and me and my little boy hiked through what was to him nearly waist deep snow. We hiked for 2 hours out to this yurt, stayed in the yurt in February. And he said, "Have you bought your swimming costume, mummy?" And I was like, "No, darling, it's February in Alaska." He said, "Oh, I think that's your next adventure, is to find an icy hole that you can swim in." So I researched a glacier in the Alps in Austria where you can hike inside a glacier. So you go 30 meters below the surface of a glacier into a
Wow.
glacial tunnel that's half filled with water. There's a hiking tour that you can do, and if you do like an ECG, an EEG, a doctor's note certificate to say you're insane, they will let you swim in this tunnel. So I stripped down to a bikini in front of all these hikers in their like full snow gear and swam in this glacial tunnel, 30 meters below the surface of a glacier, which is epic.
Wow. I need to ask you this one last question. I'm sorry. Is it okay if we go over by a couple of minutes? Okay. So there are friends of mine that swim. I don't know if you're familiar with the Great Lakes. I'm sure you are. The Great Lakes in Canada and the US. There's a friend of mine in the winter will swim Lake Ontario. But he's got this full wetsuit on. Is that what it's called? A wetsuit? You never wore that in your swims. Is that a personal decision or is that like you don't need to or?
If you wear a wetsuit on a channel swim, it's considered an assisted swim.
Oh.
I'm fine with people wearing wetsuits. I don't like wearing them. I would rather eat cake, get fat, and swim without a wetsuit. Channel swimmers call it bioprene. We hold our insulation underneath our skin.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Beth, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for your time. Much best wishes to you and your son and all your future adventures. You do public speaking. If people want to get caught up with what you're doing and the work that you're doing, where can they go?
So my website is bethfrench.co.uk. Facebook and Instagram, Beth French Lives.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It was lovely talking.